Just a minute. I'm coming.
FBI, open up!
Just a minute.
Hello, everybody. This is Legal Man. Welcome to the show. This is going to be a good episode. I'm going to talk about land, the early land system in the colonies in the United States, and how you actually got land, entitled to land, and were the settlers able to just go out and get free land? And did you buy it from the Indians or the state, or how did this work? And I think it's a very important topic. And for people who don't know me, I'm a lawyer. I've practiced for more than 30 years. I'm America's most trusted and beloved lawyer because I tell them the truth. And the truth is that the stories you're told about this country are fairy tales, and constitutional conservatives are just grifters. And the reality is I was a constitutional conservative for years and years and years and years and believed it all the stuff about the liberty and the documents and the freedom and the tea tax and protecting and all the stupid crap. And then about 25 years ago, I get the internet. And in fairly short order, I figured out that it's just a con, a grift, that it's a fairy tale to keep people on a tax-paying plantation. And when I figured that out, I became self-certified as a master practitioner. I don't need constitutional conservative grifters anymore. I've also given myself a lifetime achievement award for the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows I've produced explaining the way the system actually works to people. And when Jones Plantation, the movie, came out, I play Mr. Jones, I awarded myself the highest award that a civilian can get, which is the Presidential Medal of Freedom. I gave that to myself for the incredible job I did acting and playing Mr. Jones, and I'm quite sure I earned it. And I love making fun of credentials and awards, because credentialing and awards and crap like that, that's the way officialdom protects itself. It requires that you learn all this stupid officialdom information and regurgitate it. And if you don't, then you lose your license or certification or registration, and they destroy you professionally and personally. And that's the system. Everybody saw it operating during COVID with the doctors, but it's used with everybody because they require you to get a license to cut people's hair. So all of the information has to be kept on lockdown at all times, because everything the people are being taught is just a pack of lies. And if they figured it out, they'd be none too happy. So I like to mock all of that stuff so people will catch on, maybe award themselves their own little titles and awards and different certifications. Okay, enough about that. Let's go ahead and get this show going. So I want to make a show today about land. I want to continue this discussion. I started there in that war part where I told you about the Revolutionary War, and I think I've clearly proved that the fairy tale about my freedom and my tea tax and all this other crap, that's just lies. And that's just a story that the people are told in order to get the people to believe and buy into the fairy tales that they want about the patriotism and get people to defend them and fight for the flag and my country and all this other stuff, which is just a scam to make sure that the wealthy people who run it all behind the scenes can get the peasant class on board and keep the peasant class from revolting. Because ultimately, they're very, very weak, the people who run things. The only thing they have is this brainwashing and this group of people who are the knaves that sort of run it all. They do all the bureaucratic work and run the police, the military, these industries and things like that. They have to have all those people working for them. And it used to be a much more clear-cut thing back for years and years and years when the system was set up in this clear royalty. And now it's this giant governmental bureaucracy that's a front for the way the system actually functions behind the scenes. But I want to talk about land because for most of human history, the entire scam, the entire system of generational wealth, which is the only kind of wealth that really has any power, there's lots of people who kind of pop up and they are okay for a while, but then they die. They don't have generational wealth. They haven't set it up. And generational wealth was land for so, so long. That all changed about the time of the Civil War in the United States, when you brought in industrialization. Very large populations started growing all over the world because of industrialization and the ability to control them and to kill them in very large numbers with automatic weapons, breech-loading rifles and cannons and rail to move them around, and all this sort of complex electric communication and the ability to print things up in large numbers. that all started to change over to this sort of governmental banking system where you have to suck off of government and have businesses that run off of government in order to ever create any kind of generational wealth, because that's really the power structure. That front-facing load of shit called government is the key. It used to be the king. He just kind of turned over all the time. I used to like to watch all these documentaries and these series on Netflix and Amazon about these different kingdoms. And, you know, they sound like they have all this sort of continuity, but they really don't when you look at it. This guy's killed, his family's killed. This other guy comes in, they bring in a new so-called family that starts running it, and their cousins and uncles and sons and daughters, they all start getting involved, and then they have enemies. That's the way it worked for a very, very long time. And the other thing that was so interesting to me in the past was that when somebody got caught doing something, for the most part, screwing around, they killed them and they took all their land and titles. They just took them all away. So this family was left destitute. And that's the only way you can really do it. If you don't take a guy like Tony Fauci and Joe Biden and all these people and just simply strip all of their family wealth out and leave them homeless to the extent you don't simply banish them, then the system's never going to work. And since people can see now, the bad people who live and breathe government and scammery, they can see that none of that stuff actually is ever going to happen again because the people are too brainwashed, and the media with the futuristic movies and stuff driving every one of these centralized things, the people are way, way, way beyond it. Anyway, I've gotten a little bit off topic, so let me get back to what I really want to talk about, which is land. I told you last time when I came back from California and I saw these jokers with this crazy land deal going on. State is just absolutely 100% corrupt, total fraud. It's just fakery. But the real estate has created a tremendous amount of wealth for just sort of some mutant families out there that do nothing but stand around, and it just grows up around them. And then they use it as a kind of cancerous thing to spread all over the United States. And commercial and residential real estate, especially residential real estate in California, is an incredibly good investment because it's very easy to sell. It's hard to sell an $8, $10 million house in most places, but in those areas, it's not. It's not. So people can grow up a tremendous amount of wealth in those areas. And it got me to thinking about the country, since the country is a land scam, always was from the beginning. And now it's all these other things. I thought, how did this really happen? How would you get land? I don't even understand the system. I watch these movies. I see settlers. I have this kind of idea in my mind that people went out to the plains and they just staked a claim and all this other crap. Most of that stuff's from Westerns. And most of that stuff is post-1862, which was the huge act that Abe Lincoln passed, which I'm not going to discuss heavily in this episode, because I've considered it to be a very separate stage of the scam. But that's what most movies are about. And so what I was thinking about when I was talking to my buddy, and neither of us knew the answer, he's also a lawyer. How did this work? How do you actually get land? It doesn't make any sense. And I gave you a flavor for it last time with regards to this idea that the Brits had claims, the French had claims, then the United States government had a claim after we won in 1783 and got that Treaty of Paris. And prior to that, there was all this land speculation and people gushing over here. And the question for me was, how does this work? I don't get it. You're talking about a time with quill and parchment and not even very many people being able to read. How did you get a claim in any legitimate way to this land? So I've spent quite a few hours just kind of nosing around in there. And the bottom line on all of it is that there's a tremendous difference between having a claim and being able to defend a claim. And of course, all of that involves the scammery of government. So originally, when the colonists were here, they were heading out into this unknown territory that was supposedly part of the colony, which was all part of a land grant that would have come from the king. And these land grants purported to give an ability for people to go all the way out to the Mississippi River. So just a total and completely made up thing. Because the French were out there, and there were Indians out there, and there were Spanish people out there. But in theory, that's the way those land grants to the colonies were drawn up. And then they had something called a headright claim, which was kind of like a deed-ish thing. But basically, the crown incentivizing people to go over there would give them like 1,000 acres, some additional amounts of land that was called a headright claim. And it was for basically the settler to go over there, stake it out, and then the person who paid for them to go over there could also have this claim to the land. And so it was a complicated system. And obviously, you can imagine the incredible amount of fraud going on in a system like that when you're talking about going someplace that takes months and months and months and months and months just to go ahead and get there. And then good luck finding these people. And then good luck trying to figure out where their land is, since it's not even been surveyed, that they so-called own under this headright system. And then having some kind of record back in England that you can look at or in the colonies and make sure that they're identical records that prove some kind of traceable ownership. So you can see right there that already there's just an incredible amount of opportunity for fraud. Absolutely no way you can do it. But the fundamental difference that's there is that you still have this person staking a claim who's a settler versus somebody who can prove a claim and then can prove actual enforceable title through some kind of governmental entity. And there was a large amount of that, and that's what a lot of the colonists were doing. And they could also go out prior to 1763, you could buy land from other people and from Indians, allegedly. You didn't have to buy it from the crown. That was the big problem. 1763, they made it such that you couldn't even have a colorable claim that flowed unless it came from the crown, because the Indians were only permitted to sell their land to the crown. And of course, prior to that, you had all sorts of people who came up and supposedly had tens of thousands of acres this, hundreds of thousands of acres that. And what would they have? They have some scratched out piece of shit signed by some guy who has no claim at all, some Indian who thinks he's taking you for a ride by you paying him for something he knows he doesn't own. And you would take this document, and then this fundamental fraud would then be transferred around to somebody else. This is assuming somebody even bothered to get a real signature from a real person. There's literally nothing to any of this stuff. It's completely made up, all right? And there's nowhere to even file it so that you can then have some kind of real claim. And even if you did file it, nobody would know if it was in there. Nobody would know if there was an overlap. And so this was a complete and total ass grab free-for-all that the people who were wealthy in the colonies and the people in the colonies who had anything on the ball, that sort of 20% we might be able to reach, they could see what this was. And they could see that the key was go out, get it, and see if you could hold it long enough to then be able to secure a claim, just like Washington said in that letter that I read you guys the excerpt from. So as a legal matter leading up to that, you had these certain kinds of ways that you could then claim land. The best kind was a legitimate land grant from a king that was actually in control of the sovereign territory, which meant he could send his soldiers out there to enforce it in some form or fashion, or you could enforce it in one of his phony baloney courts. But even that, of course, was incredibly slim because, as we saw in 1763, those things can get wiped out. And then in 1783, they can also get wiped out. You lose with the war. But you can see how the colonial period was really strange. And then once we had our own so-called country and we had a shot all the way to the Mississippi, prior to the time we so-called bought the Louisiana Purchase to extend it on, what was the system? Well, it was this system that had this land ordinance of 1785, which I also talked about last time. And what's hilarious to me is that I went and pulled it up and looked at it and read it, and I'll attach it. And it's an incredibly important document. It's pretty much the only way that land was titleable, so to speak, in the United States or in states, because they simply adopted the same stuff later from there forward. And one of the fascinating things is this thing really wasn't updated. And here's what it says about the land. Be it ordained by the United States and Congress assembled that the territory ceded by individual states to the United States, which has been purchased of the Indian inhabitants, shall be disposed of in the following manner. And then it gives this very detailed system of 6x6 square mile sections. So there's 36 of them in there, and they'd send these surveyors out, and then they divide it up, and then you could take each one of those single square mile things and divide it up, and then they sold all these lots off. And this was the system that was in place forever up until 1862. And then it was only modified. These underlying systems weren't modified with regards to the surveying, things like that. But look what it actually says. The land ceded by the states, which has been purchased of the Indian inhabitants. Well, they didn't purchase any of this crap from the Indians. So this doesn't describe hardly any of the actual land that was surveyed and then sold. What actually happened was they went out there and killed them and took their land. And so the title that even purports to be inside of these land offices that were created and this complex filing system where you would send the thing back, the land operating person, the surveyor in charge of that, the land commissioner would send these things back periodically when a certain number of them were purchased and each one of the territories they're in, the little squares, they'd send them back to the U.S. and then they'd get hole punched and saved in some set of books. You can imagine the amount of fraud, mistake, confusion that would be in a system like that when you were talking about millions and millions and millions of acres. Just utterly ludicrous to think it could ever be done. But the biggest laugher to me was that this land that was all divided up, almost none of it even meets this qualification. So this statute does not cover the vast majority. So once again, fruit of the poisonous tree, the entire thing is a complete and total fraud. It's a complete and total fraud. And of course, there's yet another thing. The people are gushing out there. And the concept now is that if you're a settler, you go out there, you settle the land, someone else comes along, claims they have some land they've bought through this system of purchasing through the land ordinance of 1785, which was the only way you could actually come into a legitimate title. See, that's the only way you could have title. It's true, you could be on the land. You could claim the land was yours. You could try to present some other documents that would be something from some other person and then try to, but it doesn't work because this thing preempts it all. So as soon as you had those phony baloney federal territory courts and then certainly state courts, you go in there, you could secure your title into these filing systems, and then you could have what was real title. And that's what all the fights ended up being about. You could commit fraud. God only knows how simple it was to get these things to claim that you had an interest. But ultimately, you had to buy it from the United States. And that was somewhat more limited in the ability to commit fraud. But of course, there's a million exceptions to that as well, with regards to land just being granted to them, fraud in the documents themselves. How's anyone ever going to know there's fraud in the documents? How? You're going to have to go to a court. You're going to have to somehow get testimony from some official person who's probably already dead, some other so-called notary. There's nothing in there to ever possibly imagine that you could keep this stuff legitimate. It's an absolute fraud of the highest order to believe that any of this stuff was real and that the vast majority of the people were simply getting taken for a ride. And it was all about allowing very, very wealthy people to get a hold of huge amounts of land, basically for free, even at the price they were selling. It was basically a buck an acre. But there was another thing that came out, and this was called the Northwest Ordinance. And a lot of people have probably heard of this document, and it's an incredibly important document. It was about this territory that originally was what 1785 was about, this Northwest Territory. This thing came out in 1789. So very quickly together, there started to be problems after the states ceded all this so-called fake land they had, these fake land grants, in order to so-called come together as a country. You can now see why there was such a tremendous interest by the rich people in making sure there was a solid government, and especially a very solid centralized government. That was absolutely critical to then being able to protect and enforce these phony baloney land claims and land purchases and land speculations that they were all engaging in. And the impression that I had with regards to settlers and going out and just getting the land, none of that's accurate. It's true you could get it. You might even develop it some, but you're never going to be able to hold it because the other guy's going to come in and he's going to screw you with the courts. And if you have federales troops that can come in there, well, you're going to lose. And so this is not to mention the guy can just burn you out. But the hilarious thing about this Northwest Ordinance to me was once again, this absolute preposterous, I mean, ludicrous discussion inside of the actual statute itself, which I pulled up and I will also attach and people can read. It's not that long. It's not like today where they're hundreds of pages long. This is something they had to hand write out, so it never became hundreds of pages. And inside the Northwest Ordinance, they guaranteed all sorts of freedoms, and they also incredibly support Sapooner's arguments about slavery and the definitions and all sorts of other interesting things. But this, to me, was the part that stood out the most. It's in Article 3 of this ridiculous ordinance, and it says this: religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. Okay, well, whatever that matters. That comes from the fact that Section 16 of the 1785 sectioning out would always be reserved for schools inside of that system for the township. And that's where it came from. But here's what it continues on. The utmost good faith shall always be observed towards the Indians. Their lands and property shall never be taken from them without their consent. And in their property, rights, and liberty, they shall never be invaded or disturbed unless in just and lawful wars authorized by Congress. But laws founded in justice and humanity shall from time to time be made for preventing wrongs being done to them and for preserving peace and friendship with them. You like that? Incredible hypocrisy from these people. The utmost good faith must be observed towards them, and their property shall never be taken from them without their consent. And in their property, rights, and liberty, they shall never be invaded or disturbed unless in just and lawful wars authorized by Congress. Is there a single just and lawful war authorized by Congress? Of course not. It's all utter shit. You're just running people, and they're claiming you own their land, purporting to have the ability to sell it. Of course, the out they have is that in 1785, they claimed they only were going to be able to sell the land that they'd purchased from the Indians. Well, these Indians clearly weren't letting it be sold. They clearly weren't consenting. They clearly hadn't sold it to them. That's why they went to war with them. That's why there was hundreds of those wars over and over again, because none of this stuff was being done. This is the fundamental fraud of our government. All governments are like this. The belief in our government, we made some mistakes and all this other crap. You can just see this right here. This is lies, people. See, this is laughable lies. This is how much your so-called justice and vote and your rights are going to be defended, just like this. They treated them like they were in this statute, like they were legit, but they didn't do any of it. See, so the laws as written make no difference. All that matters is the corrupt people who enforce them and manipulate them. And I thought it was absolutely hilarious that such a clear-cut case as that was in there. And I want to also show you another hilarious piece, because you can imagine that as the people were moving out and you have this endless fraud and misrepresentation and all these other things going on with regards to who owns the land, where's the title, all the fraud in the titling. The question became, how do you clear this up? People are out there in good faith, improving the land. They live on it. They build a house. They cleared it and fenced it and everything else. Then someone else shows up, claims they did buy it. And in fact, the United States sold it to them, even though they're both fighting Indians. There was no consent. The thing had already been sold to someone else who actually, all of these things, you push them together, there was a huge amount of problems. Huge amount of problems. So as the early settlers, so-called, went out in the very early 19th century and it started causing so many problems, they finally had some federal legislation on it called Preemption Act of 1841. And it basically just meant that if you were a settler, you went out there, good faith, settled the land, thought you had some claim to it from someone else or some other thing, that what it gave you was not title to the land, but it gave you the right of first refusal to purchase this land. yourself from the United States at these incredibly cheap rates so that you could get some kind of protection from these other people that you would see come in and try to take it. Now, again, once you get killed and burned out and everything, what does it matter? They just go down and burn the land office before the documents are sent. They get a friend in the territorial governor's office to insert something into the land office. And that's what it was all about. But you can see how they had to create this preemption act. And so you could go down and then, in effect, be a settler with what you think's a good faith claim and then go and use this preemption act, if you could figure any of this legalese horseshit out, and go purchase the land at the land office where the United States would set theirs up, buy it from the United States in this area, and then you could preclude other people from coming in and claiming that they bought them from some other way. You did have a right. So this is sort of the complex overlay of all these laws, the bottom line always being the same, and that is that saying you had the land, being able to defend the fact that you have the land from other people coming in and actually being able to show any kind of so-called legitimate title to the land, they're completely different. Having title that can then be enforced, again, is a different thing. And this is why there was always such a huge push to make territories into states. And those things were all controlled by these Northwest Ordinance that discussed the ideas of how many people had to come in, how many voting people had to come in, and then you would get this sort of semi-representation, and then you had enough people in there, you could actually get representation, and then you could get a state. And in between, you had these land offices and this sort of hodgepodge of protection. Once you had a state, you had way more protection. And that's really all it's about. Again, the importance of all these things is to somehow be able to get titled land that you can then protect. That's the whole key. And when you start understanding that these settlers who just went out there, and I'm excluding post-1862, which then allowed people to go out and stake claims out that were for a certain amount, 160 acres you could get if you go out and farm it and reproduce it, then you could get title to it after a certain amount of time. That didn't exist early on. That did not exist early on. There was nothing like that prior to 1862. It was this hodgepodge of very complicated things and these claims and then this preemption claim where you could then go and repurchase. But the idea of the free land prior to that time really didn't exist. Now, that doesn't mean there weren't land grants and all sorts of additional things, land given to people. There were. Of course there were. It's preposterous. And I did a little searching around, and I found the largest land grant that I could find was 1.7 million acres to an individual and in New Mexico and southern Colorado. And this is the kind of thing that went on. So you have the constant overlay of people gushing in. You have the inability to prove crimes or fraud or anything else on these documents. You have people just killing other people. But ultimately, what was allegedly required in order to get good title was you had to pay the United States government these sort of dollar an acre stuff. Now, they made exceptions for bulk and everything else. I mean, like everything else, there's a million exceptions. I'm just trying to give people what I consider to be a really clear overview of the basis, which is very, very different than the image I had in my mind of going out and getting free land. That's just not the way it worked. It's true. You might stake out a claim, and then if you got big enough or strong enough, you might be able to do something and get something put in the land office and then get a hold of some money. But ultimately, the money had to change hands in some form or fashion. And even if you got that title, if the land office burned down, you're probably screwed. But most of the movies are Westerns, and those Westerns are almost all post-Civil War. And that's the image you have, is that post-Civil War image. Pre-Civil War, very, very different the way the land systems worked. And of course, they weren't very far out there. Of course, it was during the Civil War where they gave out 180 million acres to the railroads, just free, just gave it to them so they could go build railroads and those people could all get rich. And the essential part of that was, again, you have to be able to go out there and control it before someone else does. The Oregon Territories are another issue that came up during that time. And there's also a separate war fought about that, which I think I actually included in my little war series, just labeling wars, so unfamiliar with how much of it went on. But then you had California, they had the Mexican-American War. All these things were designed to go back, take over this land, and then control it, and then use this system, this complex system of surveying and then purchasing that actually did it. And to me, I thought it was fascinating. And when I was doing it, I just couldn't help myself for thinking about that scene in Braveheart, where after he wins a couple big battles, they want to make him into a knight. And then they have this ceremony where we're all standing around and arguing the so-called king of this and the knight of that and all this other stupid shit was in there. And they make him a knight. And then as soon as they make him a knight, they start arguing about who's he going to support, who's he going to protect, are they going to defend these land rights and these title rights and other things like that, which is hilarious to me. And I reference that ridiculous scene many times because I think Braveheart has a tremendous amount of very helpful information for anybody who knows how to watch that movie. So I want to play this hilarious scene because it's very funny to me. It's incredibly appropriate. In fact, I'll probably attach this little link that I used so that people can find it, because it's stinking hilarious. All right, let's play it.
Sir William!
He comes up to him.
Sir William, inasmuch as you and your captains hail from a region long known to support the Balliol clan, may we invite you to continue your support and uphold our rightful claim.
Damn the Balliol clan! Honor the Long Shanks!
They all start arguing, of course, about this stuff because it's all so totally ridiculous.
Gentlemen,
now is the time to declare a king.
Oh, wait! Then you're prepared to recognize our legitimate succession.
You're the ones who won't support the rightful
king. Those were lies when you first wrote them.
Oh, no, that's true. I demand recognition of these documents.
These documents were lies when you wrote them.
I demand recognition of these documents. Those documents were lies when you first wrote them. This is what it really was all about for most of history. Just this sort of hilarious grab-ass shit. And you can see how our country, which pretends to have this other thing, is really just a reverse-engineered overlay of the same kind of absurd grab-assery that went on here, with the faked up documents that are then put into the record, and then it becomes the official record of this and that. And do you recognize our claims that are in the land office of this, and this is my land, I own this 50,000 acres of this and that. Very funny to me. See, it's very funny to me because the reality of attempting to try to prove up the legitimacy of any of these claims, when you really start thinking about it, some document, who the hell did you have a signature from? Who is this person? You think you'll be able to bring them into court? You think you're going to bring them hundreds and hundreds of miles, 1,000 miles through the woods into some court somewhere to have something heard? You think you're going to get a legitimate hearing from some legitimate judge who's not 100% corrupt himself, has been given lands himself, the land commissioner correctly writing down and claiming payment of this and that, hole punching and putting them in these giant folders all over the place? It's utter crap. Just like those headright claims when the colonies were started. There was endless fraud in those, where the people would show this 1,000 acres and that 1,000 acres, and they'd claim it, and there'd be overlap, and then they'd have some document in some place, and they'd have some hearing, and judgment to rule on this. And nobody even go out to the land and look at it, survey it. There'd be literally no way to prove any of this. It's just complete nonsense. And I also think it's helpful to remember that prior to that 1862 Homestead Act, a totally different system was in place with regards to how the land was really going to operate. Once you had that, you had a bunch of people that went out there and got land. And it was only about 1 million people, really, maybe 1.5 million people actually ended up getting homestead land. It's really nothing. See what a tiny number it is? But it was 160 million acres, which is a lot. It's not a huge amount. It's like, 7-8% or something of the land in the United States. But you can see how it'd be important. But of course, there's always exceptions to that. My point only being that when you really look at how did this work, you can see that the reality was that this was all about force, all about force. The fraud was easy. Anybody could commit that. The force was the key. And that was the driving momentum behind having a country and a military that you could go out there and defend this stuff and state claim and steal and murder the Indians, even though you're claiming you're going to treat them with respect and purchase their land and all this other stupid crap. You can't purchase land from a group of people who don't believe you can own land. There's nobody there to buy it from. There's no way to get agreement on it. No one even knew what the land was. This is on top of all the absurdity of the vague descriptions of where the land is. And I don't know. It just, to me, I thought it was very interesting. And I hope people are interested in how strange this is. Such an important thing. This land is so incredibly valuable now that it's full of all these people. And you look at the way it was actually obtained, and you can see that literally the title you have is a total and complete fraud, because ultimately all traces back to that kind of 1785 ordinance, and none of the land described that you're standing on in any form or fashion meets it. So it was all illegitimately sold. So who owns it? Who's entitled to it? And how does the government have it? Government claimed it got it from England. Got it from France when it bought it, got it in some war, and then how? So you can see, once you peel back all of that, that the true reality of generational wealth that drove the world for thousands and thousands of years is laid bare as just a bunch of fraud and force, which is, of course, the exact thing government is, and which is exactly why wealthy people love government. Because they cannot hold on to all their ill-gotten gains without the force of government. And you need the people totally brainwashed into believing that government is for them and helps them and protects them and is about justice in order to keep the people from revolting against the government that they set up to scam the people. And that's where we are. So people can use that information however they want. Hopefully they'll use it to their benefit and understand the game that's really being played now, and see the game that was really being played while they distract everybody with all these fairy tales. And I think the War of 1812 would probably be an interesting war to do. I may look into that for the war series, because it's definitely about land in some form or fashion. You can know that if it's 1812, involves the Brits in some form or fashion. So you can know there was something there about that, and the weird descriptions you get about it make no damn sense at all. So I may look into that one, because I think it falls right in a time period that's pretty interesting. So that's all I want to say about it today, and I hope people enjoy that little lesson. And they're free to go look the stuff up themselves and do investigations. I highly encourage it every time. I always want people to go look and do it. They'll see what it's really about. Once you have the correct lens for looking, it's very easy to see. The problem is they make sure they give everybody these fucked up lenses, that bifocally cross-eyed shit that makes no sense. And then what you're looking at makes no sense. It's no way to ever make sense of it. And that's what they want to make sure. So thanks, everybody in Patreon. I really appreciate you guys. You know, I make the show for you guys, and I hope that people who are in there take advantage and actually listen to my shows from the beginning, because they will give you an education like you've never had anywhere else and never will get anywhere else. So thank you to the people who support my show like that. If you want to, you can always follow me on Twitter. I'm Legal Man at US Crime Review. Jones Plantation, the movie, is out. I play Mr. Jones. It will be on Amazon and other major platforms very soon, I've been assured. As of now, it's still at JonesPlantationFilm.com. You will always be able to buy merchandise there, t-shirts, cups, hats, things like that. I hope people go support that movie. It's a great way to baby step people into the truth. Shows like this are way, way, way too far beyond their ability to grasp or accept, because it blows up the fairy tales they have. They've been taught again and again by con-cons in media and in academia, and the fairy tale about this country. And so they just can't hear this kind of information. But I know the people in here can. So thank you guys again. And thank you to anybody who supports that movie project. If we can make money with that movie, then we'll make more movies. And in fact, Andrew and I have another project that we're going to be discussing here in the next few weeks that I think people might be interested in. Maybe they'll chip in and make that project happen too. And beyond that, I don't think there's anything else to say, so I'm going to go ahead and wrap it up. You guys have been a great audience as usual. Everybody have a nice night or day wherever you are. Take care.
Thank you, everybody. Let's put your hands together one more time for Legal Man. Great show. Thanks so much. I get to kick your shirt on.